Okay, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر وأنت على كل شيء قدير اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا بعده تفرقا معصوما اللهم ولا تدع فينا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم آمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته How to build strong and happy family This is the title of our workshop We will be together inshallah for four sessions If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and give us the power inshallah and the time and the health to carry on inshallah بإذن المولى عز وجل Now the first session basically will be focused on introduction if I can may ask if anyone has a child that can't be controlled by the voice when I'm interrupted I forget everything so please if it's possible just to either to control them or to take them somewhere else if you can please because it's very difficult to be interrupted the first session inshallah will be an introduction which is very important, and I believe it's the most important thing in the whole workshop, basically the introduction. Now, plus, the first part, I will be dealing with main four parts. First section, basically, how spouses, according to Islamic teachings, should be choosing each other. How a husband, what does Islam say about how a husband or how a man should be choosing his spouse or his wife. How a woman should be choosing or accepting a man to be her husband. This is in section one. We will be starting this today after the introduction, inshallah. Next part or next section, next week, inshallah, we will be dealing with, okay, this man has decided who's supposed to be his wife. She has decided who's supposed to be her husband. Now they are living as a husband and wife at home. Okay, how they should be dealing with each other according to Islamic teachings. We jump to next section, third week, we will be dealing, inshallah, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with, okay, now part of the by default divine design for the institution of marriage is to have children. How? The husband and the wife, father and mother, should be dealing with their kids according to Islamic teachings as a general idea. The fourth and final session, fourth week, will be dealing, inshallah, with, will be addressing the kids who became mature and they understand what we are doing now, how they should be dealing with their parents. We will be talking about respecting the parents or bir al-walidain. So this is the main design of our four sessions, bi'idhnil mawla. Azza wa Jal. So let's start with the introduction today. Today's session in specific, it's more or less theoretical, more philosophical, but it's very important. The other three sessions, they are more practical, more examples, and it will, inshallah, be having the opportunity for discussion and for interruption if you have any questions with the Ibn al-Mawla Azza wa Jal. Now, first point. Now, before I talk about, what is the title of our speech, basically? It is how to build a strong family. So we have two pillars now, a family and how this family should be strong. Now, in theory, okay, yalla, let's start. No, if you want to be more scientific, more academic, more thorough, more deep. From academic point of view, it's highly preferable to understand the context before dealing with anything. Context, you know the context? We have a text and we have a context, a siyaq. For example, if you came to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying something in the Quran, if you understand the context, your ability to enjoy realizing and understanding the verse will be 10 times better. If you took just one verse, like for example, I will give you the importance of the context. Many of people, they read قول الله تعالى لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. this verse, many people, they understand that this verse is talking about the Quran. And this verse is telling Muslims that the Quran should not be touched by anyone except by... I don't know who's in charge of the kids. Ah, thank you. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah fiqh. Thank you. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. I was saying, you know, I lose my control completely when I hear someone screaming.
I was saying that the Quran is not to be touched.
Oh, sir. For example, إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. Many people, they look at this verse. Look, this verse is saying, is telling that Quran should not be touched unless if you are tahir, you are purified, you have the wudu. So millions of people, they understand this verse superficially as is because this is what it suggests as it appears. We say, please, as experts, go understand the context. When you understand the context, this verse is not talking about what you are talking about. This, the context of this verse, Allah is replying and is responding to the big accusation of the mushrikeen against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were accusing Prophet Muhammad that he used to take this Quran from the jinn. This is one of the accusations. He's a magician, sahir, he's a liar, he's a what, he's a blah, blah, blah. You know, every time they produced or they created a new lie just to attack him. One of the lies that they created, that Muhammad is receiving the Quran from the jinn. That's why we are not able to discuss with him. And the jinn, they have, let's say, knowledge better than us. So Allah is responding to this, replying to this. He's talking about the Quran, that this Quran, قال إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون. Now كتاب مكنون is the preserved tablet, اللوح المحفوظ. Okay, this preserved tablet قال لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. The مطهرون is referring to the angels who are only just allowed to see, like Jibril عليه السلام, for example. Okay, so Allah is telling us part of his knowledge has been preserved in what he calls al-lawh al-mahfuz. We don't know the reality of it. It's a means of having data in some way, ilm from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This preserved tablet contain part of what it contains the Quran. So Allah allowed some angels from the mutahhareen, the purified, to access this by his knowledge and his permission. And that's it. So the context, the Mutahharun is talking about who? Angels. If you take the verse out of context, how many Muslims understand it? It's about human beings, which is not true at all. That's why they say, you see, you should not touch the Quran if you don't have wudu. I say, the ayah has nothing to do with what you are talking about at all. You can't have this unless if you read the context. Okay? This is just a simple example about the importance of the context. So I go back to my topic. What is my topic? Family. Strong, happy family. The core is family. Now, to establish a family and to let this family be happy and strong, we as Muslims, we have to go to the our specific context with families or with anything else. What do I mean by our context? I go to what I call in my language, square number one. What is square number one for a believer as a Muslim, in my understanding? The reason for your existence on earth. Why you are here? Who are you? Who you are? Why you are here? From here we start before we deal with the family. Now, I need to know that Allah, okay, I know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكَّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعْ المؤمنين. Sometimes you are a Muslim, I'm a Muslim. You are a believer, I'm a believer. When you come, if you have some kind of dispute with your brother and you started screaming loudly, we come, I say, don't forget, you are in a masjid. Okay, you are in a masjid. I know I'm in a masjid. No, I need to remind you, please, you are in a masjid. What does this mean? Calm down. Respect the place. Be careful. Realize the context. So when you talk about the family, Before talk about family, okay, the most important thing to talk about mahr, about dowry, about divorce. You know, we have a big divorce cases in Canada. Let's tackle them. Wait. Before talking about divorce cases, before talking about the tiny specific, even if they are very dangerous, let's go to square number one. Because now I came here to advise, I came to educate. If you want to build a family on a strong basis, start from square number one. Square number one, I need to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created the creation, part of the creation, He created the human beings. Then He decided by His will to let this human beings to be on earth, starting from Adam alayhi salam up to the end of the day of judgment. And one of the amazing things that we need to know, following two things that have to do with the human beings. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know this in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the angels that He's about to create Khalifa. He used the word what? Khalifa. Now, part of the meanings of Khalifa, that I'm creating someone who will be on earth and I will give him the authority and the power and the tools and the capabilities and the faculties and the know-how, the knowledge to do something. Then in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us, قال وَاسْتَعْمَرَكُمْ فِيهَا, and I have put you in this, on this earth, to develop it. Istimar. Are you with me? So, we received two important messages about the big intention, the divine wisdom from our existence here. Al-istikhlafu wal-istimar. So we should be a successive for each other as a human being, but we need to do development for F. Okay? So, now, what's the relation between this and the family? Wait, just I told you it's a little bit theoretical, philosophical introduction, but it helps you to answer tens, if not hundreds, of other questions. So now we are living on earth by the will of Allah to apply the concept of istikhlaf and isti'mar. Plus, in another verse, Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. The amount of misunderstanding for this verse among Muslims and Arabs in general is amazing. Is amazing. You know, I've traveled through 280 cities in 26 countries and 5 continents. And I was delivering speeches, talking about Islam in Arabic and English, for Muslims, for Arabs and non-Arabs, Muslims in general, from east of China up to Los Angeles. Amazingly, every time I discuss this, the amazing discovery of how many Muslims they misunderstand the concept of ibadah is amazing. Now, many Muslims, when you ask them just randomly, what do you understand from this verse? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Of course, alhamdulillah, Allah created us to worship Him. Okay, what's the meaning of worship, brother? Okay, worship, alhamdulillah, I do salat, I do zakat, I do siyam, I go to hajj, I say, okay, alhamdulillah, I do worship Allah, alhamdulillah. Look, Muslims, they come to the masjid, they build masajid. I said, this is, okay, what else? Alhamdulillah, this is the ibadah. And this is a huge misunderstanding. This is a simple part of the ibadah. Because the definition of ibadah in Arabic is al-inqiyadu wal-khudu'u al-tammu al-mutlaqu duna ayy shart. The meaning of abada, ya'budu, abid, ma'bud. When you go in English, they say the root verb, masdar. Okay? The root verb, the radicals, they say in the language of the lexicons. They say root verb, masdar. What's the meaning of the root verb of abada, ya'budu? It means literally full submission and full obedience for something or someone without any kind of preconditions. Full obedience. Now, when Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, Allah was not talking just about ritual worship, coming to the masjid and doing the hajj, which are called rituals, which is simple part of big meaning of ibadah. The word ibadah, it's a full submission to the will of your Lord in every single aspect of your life. Part of it, ritual worship, coming to the masjid, wearing the hijab, going to the umrah, going to the hajj, which hardly they will cover no more than 7 or 5 or 10% of Islam. What about the 90%? Every single aspect of your life, your marriage, your food, your friendship, your, you know, your hatred, your love should be according to the law of Allah. Al-wala'u lillah wal-bara'u lillah. Al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdu. I mean, you are asked even when you love someone to love him because of what Allah is commanding you. And if you want to hate someone and you don't have a justification in Islam, you have no right to hate him. That's what we call al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdu fillah. Your clothing, your money, how to earn money, how to establish a family, how to take care, what to say in your ethical life, financial life, economic life, political life, everything is included with the word of ibadah. So when we put istikhlaf, isti'mar, ibadah all together now, mix them, blend them, and have the Islamic formula. The Islamic formula is the following. Allah, by His will, decided to let the human beings be on earth to apply the concept of ibadah and to fulfill the concept of istikhlaf and isti'mar. Now, for all of these things to be fulfilled practically, it's impossible if the human race, what? Disappeared. So the human race must continue, what? To exist. How the human race will continue to exist? By reproduction. How the reproduction will stay? Through the gate of marriage. Get my point? So, this huge, big goals of divine aims, basically, will not be achieved if reproduction and marriage does not exist. Are you with me, what I'm trying to say? Amazingly. So, establishing a family is not something simple or silly or marginal, or it's up to us. That's why when the Prophet Muhammad said, تَنَاكَحُوا تَكَاثَرُوا فَإِنِّي مُبَاهٍ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, which means, do your best to marry. Do your best to establish a family, okay? Marry, you know, many from males and females. I will be proud of you in the day of judgment. I want you to be big numbers, because basically you need numbers to fulfill, you know, the requirement to do your job. You need numbers. That's why. And by the way, let's make it just a little bit politically. Do you think, for example, countries like Canada, when they welcome immigrants, they welcome them just because of the law? Or let's ask me, what is behind the law? Why Germany, for example? Why United States? Why Canada? Why many countries, which really they are doing very good, nice job for immigrants? Why they welcome immigrants? Do you know why? One of the main reasons? They need what? They need what?
People.
They need people. They need numbers. They need manpower. Are you with me? If they are completely satisfied with the numbers, do you think they will open? No. I'm speaking from secular point of view, logical point of view now. They have a problem with that. And it's not just them. Many people on earth, they have a problem. So having good numbers is not something silly or marginal. So we need to understand. That's why we understand why we have a high courage. We are highly encouraged in Islam to marry, not to stay as a single. As long as there is no genuine reason that prevents you from, you know, getting married. Okay? So this is the high, big issue behind it. So therefore, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this amazing thing. Because of that, let's freeze what you have here from me now, just for a moment. Put it on the shelf. I will open another file now. Another file. Now, establishing a family from materialistic, human, practical point of view, is it something easy or difficult in general? I mean, bringing a money, is it easy or difficult? Paying a dowry, a mahar, is it easy? Start having a house, renting a house, buying a house, then spending the money, is it something easy? Is it easy in general? No, it's not easy. Most of the people, they suffer. So, if Allah left the point up to us to decide to marry or not to marry, I believe many of us will not marry. Therefore, He created inside us two basic needs, the sexual need and the emotional need. By default, it's built in our fitra. So Allah created us. This is called the external fitra. Fitra, the word fitra means the nature or the instinct. We have two types of fitra, two types of nature. External, which is what we see. Every one of us, we are created in a way that we have a head, two hands, two arms, one tummy, two legs, two feet, blah, blah, blah. This is called the fitra, which means a fitra, the thing that you are, it's, you know, sometimes when they coin a coin, what do they do? This is called fatar. You see, like this. You came as exactly like this. This is how someone else has shaped you. This is your fitra. Futirta alayha, khuliqta alayha. So Allah fatarani, fatarak, which means He made our shape, the external, in this way. It's not up to my decision or your decision. It's not me or you who decided that we should be having two eyes, not one eye, for example. It's not us who decided to have one nose and one mouth, two ears, two tongues. It is by fitra, which means by force and decision from Allah. He fattarana, as is, okay? Now, we have an internal fitra now. Internal fitra, it is the basic minimum requirement of the built-in divine system to realize what is wrong and what is bad, what is good, what is right, and what is wrong with the basics. Now, that's why Allah will put many people to accountability, okay, even if they do not go to schools, even if they did not receive knowledge, because by fitra they realize many things. For example, do we need anyone to teach us that if someone took your property, your money, without your permission, that this is injustice? Do you need someone to educate you about this? Even if you are just 4 years old, do you need? Now bring any child without education, without going to school, even, just imagine he or she does not speak. If you took the candy or the sweet, you know, by force from his or her hand, in a tough way, he will cry and will attack you because you have done what? Bad, wrong, injustice. By fitra, he will be fighting. In the same, now he realized by default that this is wrong. You have no right to do it for me. Like, what if he's holding this piece of candy and you came to him with an ice cream that's supposed to be much more delicious than the candy, and you negotiated with him with your body language without even speaking? Okay, he realized that you are offering an offer. Do you mind if I talk the the chocolate and you take something? Now, with his free will, if he decided to give it to you, no problem. He realized by default the philosophy of the law, that what I have, I own. What I own is my property. If I decided to give it to you by my permission or by compensation, I will do it because I want to do it. This is philosophy. This is a deep philosophy of the law, by the way. How he or she realizes that? By fitra. He can't express it in my way, okay? But this is what he or she realizes. So that's why we understand and we realize the basics. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now the built-in system, I called it, I repeat it, the definition, it's good to memorize it. Fitra or inner nature is the basic minimum requirement of the divine built-in system to realize what is right, what is wrong, what is good and what is bad by basics. This is compatible with the divine revelation, the book. It's walillahil mathalul a'la, like in the computer. Now, the basic minimum requirement of operating a computer is operating system, which is Windows. If you have a computer without Windows, can't you do anything? It's just a piece of plastic. You can't do nothing. You have a case, you have a motherboard, you have a keyboard, you have a screen, you have a mouse, electricity, but you can do nothing. You need an operating system. Operating system is the fitra. Okay, you have an operating system, but you don't have the office. What can you do? I want to type my project, my paper. No office. The Windows will offer you nothing. But okay, you have the office. Without the Windows, you can't open the office. So the Windows is the operating system. Now, I can now download, walillahi al-mathal al-a'la, the full package of Office. So I can enjoy Excel sheet, PowerPoint, Word, whatever. And I can download the Adobe family. Okay, Photoshop, Adobe Premiere, blah, 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 whatever. Then I can enjoy using these programs. Now, if I kept on training myself how to do presentation on PowerPoint, I will be expert how to present mine using the operating system and the revealed system, which is the revelation of Allah. This is how we believe that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, built-in system basics, revelation is the compatible with this to have the best capacity and the best results. Are you with me? So that's why we say if you want to have the best result, use the compatible revealed system with the built-in system. You will have the best result. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. So according to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us, asked us to apply the concept of istikhlaf, isti'mar, ibadah. Okay? And He built inside us the urge, the need for the sexual appetite, sexual need, and emotional need. All of us, we have this kind of emotional need. We need. We can't live without someone. You know, we are an emotional human beings. We need empathy, compassion, rahmah. We need it. We need to give it. We need to have it. And the sexual need as well. So all of this together, now we will be having what? A family. Now, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. I jump from this philosophical one to the first part of, for those who came just now. As an academic, I like always sometimes just to review in a few minutes to make sure that everyone is with me on the same track. Now, this is our first session out of four sessions talking about how to build strong and happy family. My first step, my first session today is about introduction and how to choose your wife or how to choose your husband. What I have done now, basically, I give like a theoretical introduction about the cause for existence, the reason for existence on this earth. Now, taking in consideration all of these, this context, we jump to the Islamic teachings. What do we have in Islamic teachings about how someone should be choosing his or her spouse? Now, we can deal with this in 10 hours, 10 sessions, and we can deal with this in one session. So this workshop basically will be very intensive and very short. Now, today I will be dealing with two big well-known hadiths. You can just take them like a light that is guiding you in this world. The first one, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is addressing the males, the men. He tells them the following. He's giving them like a law or a criteria how to think. He says, "Tunkahu al-mar'atu li arba'a." لجمالها ولحسبها ولمالها ولدينها فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك. Amazingly, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's educating. He says people normally they tend, they have the need, and they have the desire to marry from a woman for four main reasons. One of them, which is her beauty, how beautiful she is. Sometimes the men, they are fighting for a beautiful woman. They are ready to kill each other sometimes because she is very beautiful. One of the reasons. قال ولحسبها, the reputation and the decent ship that she came from. She is from this family, that family. She is from this tribe or that tribe. She is from this area, this region. You know, some people, they are honored much more others for many reasons. So, حسب. You know, she's from the tribe of XYZ. Wow, all the men would love to have a wife from this tribe, for example. This is the second reason, mainly the people they look, used to look. قال third reason, لمالها, لحسبها, قال ولي, sorry, third one, لمالها, because of her wealth, money. If not directly because of her wealth, it's because of the wealth of her father. Now, Mr. Husband might be approaching this woman waiting her father to pass away. Because once Mr. Father passed away, the money will be inherited by sons and daughters. So some people, this is their plan. So they plan in a way, okay, Allah Ya'idna, we can marry waiting till we receive the the inheritance by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is main three reasons. Then he continues, wali diniha, favor. Then fourth reason, call for her deen. This is, by the way, big concept. When we say deen, we are not discussing that she wears the hijab and she prays and she memorizes the Quran and that's it. It's a huge concept, okay? Diniha, we are talking about her belief, her faith, her convictions, her behavior, her ethics, how close to Allah. She fears Allah. She knows Allah. She respects Allah's will. She knows what to do and what to do. I'm not discussing, now because of misunderstanding of this, sometimes you say, mashallah, mashallah, she's wearing the niqab. Okay. But she might not be a religious person as we would love. Might not. So, to Prophet Muhammad, I go back to the hadith. Tunkahul mara. Now he is telling us, educating us about the four main reasons why people, they have the desire to marry from a woman. Mal, jamal, hasab, bidin. Qal fadfar bidatid din taribat yadak. Brother, can you take them just to the corner? Because, you know, I'm losing my concentration because of him. Sorry. Very sorry for that. I'm losing my concentration. Sorry. Excellent. Yes, into the corner. Just not to keep noticing her. Jazakallah khair. Thank you. I forget what I was saying. Yes, sorry. You know, I'm a very visual person. You know visual person, what does it mean? Do you know what visual person means? Visual person is the person who memorizes information through images and he recalls information through images. You know what I say? So when I speak with you, I have images here in my mind. If someone does anything, I lose the images. Data is messed. I'm not joking. Seriously, I'm telling you. That's why the visual person basically has an amazing power. He can keep talking for 10 hours without a paper. Because simply, he recalls anything through images, like a video film. I can pick and choose from the shelf of images that I have. But with the condition, no one to this, what? To disturb me. If I'm disturbed, the video film, the images, the library is messed. So I forget everything. So that's why I always make trouble for the people. I say, please don't let anyone speak or anyone move because I lose my flow of data. So I'm sorry for that. Some people, they don't care. They can't care on because they are not visual people. their way of recalling the information does not depend on this mechanism. That's one of the problems. It's an advantage from one angle, but it's a disadvantage from another angle. Anyway, time. So, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ what? تَرِبَتْ يَدَكْ. Now, تَرِبَتْ يَدَكْ literally means let your hand be mixed with turab. What is turab?
Dust.
Soil, dust. It's an Arabic expression which means if you do not do your best to put a priority for yourself to seek the religious wife, you will be like someone who was thrown into the ground and he's mixing himself with dust, which means you are lost. you are a loser. It's like the one who will be thrown into the ground and he's mixed with dust. It's like a metaphorical Arabic expression, which means, unless if you do so, may Allah be with you. You are lost. Khalas. Bye-bye, Habibi. You are lost. This is the indirect core meaning of the Arabic expression. فَظْفَرْ وَإِلَّا فَقَدْ تَرِبَتْ يَدَكْ. So be careful not to follow this, which means I, as a Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm telling you, this is what the people do. As a Prophet of Allah, I'm telling you the best choice. Do this or otherwise, تَرِبَتْ يَدَكْ. You are a loser. So he is advising us, okay? So this is the first advice. This is Prophet Muhammad Sallam is addressing who in this advice? The man. He's addressing the man now. Be careful when you do such and such and such, be careful. Now I'll stop here. I will go to the other hadith. Then I will combine both of them together. Then we'll see how beautiful image Islam is portraying for us about how each group should be choosing from the other group. On the other hand, and Islam is the religion of justice. Before telling you that, by the way, my understanding, I remember myself once I was giving a workshop for a full month introduction to Islam in Hong Kong. By the way, Muslims in Hong Kong, there are 170,000, 50% of them Chinese, 50% of them Pakistani. Amazingly. I'm sorry. 170,000 Muslims, half of them, they are domestic workers from Indonesia and Philippines. The rest, 50% of them, they are divided into Chinese and Pakistani. So I was giving a special course about introduction to Islam in Hong Kong in one of the Islamic centers. And those who were listening, they were Muslims and non-Muslims. So I remember that I faced the following question. Dr. Amjad, if it happened that you have an opportunity of just 10 seconds to address the people of Earth through a TV channel that covers every single person on Earth, telling them about Islam, and you have 10 seconds to express the message of Islam, but this message will reach the 7 billion people. It's a golden opportunity. 10 seconds. Tfaddal, the camera now is yours. 10 seconds. Speak with the people of Earth about Islam. What would you say? This is how the question was composed in my face. Okay? I said, I'm sorry, I need no more than 2 seconds. No need for 10 seconds. Say, why? I said, because simply if I ask, what is Islam? I would say, justice. That's it. 1 second and a half. This is Islam. Islam is justice. Adl. And by the way, it is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not adil. It's not an adjective. Allah is adl. Adl means justice. The source of justice. He does not have the adjective that huwa muttasif. No. He is the source of justice. Why I'm saying this? When I continue to talking about the other part now, and we combine together, we see the amazing beauty of justice of Islam. Now, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is addressing his speech to the female now, to the woman now. قال إذا أتاكم من ترضون دينه وخلقه فزوجوه. In another narration, إذا أتاكم من ترضون دينه وأمانته فزوجوه إلا تفعلوا تكم في الأرض فتنة وفساد عريض أو وفساد كبير. It's an amazing, amazing guideline. قال إذا أتاكم. He's addressing now the woman and her family, her guardian, her father, her mother. إذا أتاكم من ترضون. If you've been approached by someone, you are satisfied with his خلق and with his deen, okay, do your best to accept, to facilitate his marriage from your daughter. If you insist not to do so, تكن في الأرض فتنة وفساد عريض. If you do not do, Prophet Muhammad is not now addressing an individual. He's addressing what? The Ummah as a law in general. If all of you, you do not do, if your criteria, your criterion, your filtering system is not as such, the end result as a Ummah, فتنة وفساد عريض. You will be facing an amazing, huge, wide corruption. Do we witness this or not? Huge fitna. You know the word fitna? This is an amazing. I don't know how to translate it. It's an amazing chaos, problem. You know, it's the completely the opposite of ni'mah. You will lose the blessings. وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيدٌ. It's an amazing expression. You will have a wide, huge corruption. Fasad. Look now when we see to our daily life. طبعاً, everyone has his own culture. Let's speak at least about some of the Arabic culture that I know. The majority of parents now, when someone is approaching them, in many cases, what are the priority they look to? Yes? True, brother. What is it?
Money.
But does he pray? Who cares, Sheikh? Inshallah, in the future, Allah will give him guidance. Don't worry about this. Ya Ammi, the one who does not respect his Allah will not respect his wife, inshallah. No, don't worry, mashallah. طيب. He came. He's very powerful, very smart, very handsome, very, very, but he drinks alcohol. But. Drinks alcohol. You see? Wallahi, I received from some Arabs in my country, some mothers, they tell their daughters, when they discover that this person is drinking alcohol, they say in Arabic, توكل على الله توكل على الله خذي ما أبوك كان يشرب بالكندرة والله هدا الله بهدي. This will not be understandable unless by Arabs, which is very important to translate, by the way. I don't know how to translate it. Untranslatable. والله untranslatable. هاي بيشرب بالكندرة مين بده يترجمها؟ نعم ما بترجم. This is a pure Arabic expression, which means, I mean the meaning, some mothers, even though they are religious, but they are brainwashed with the materialistic way of thinking. If a man came because he is rich or handsome or powerful or whatever, but against the law of Allah, he is drinking alcohol, which means he does not care. She might be telling her daughter, do tawakkul ala Allah. Your father, which means her husband, used to drink, you know, a lot of alcohol, then Allah gave him the guidance. And Allah will give guidance to your husband. Don't worry, take him and Allah will give him the guidance. Tayyib, he's a righteous, half of the Quran. His reputation is excellent, but he doesn't have a lot of money. I'm not saying he's completely poor, but he's not so rich. I can't give him my daughter. Why? Because, you know, he doesn't have money. Tayyib, give him and Allah will give him rizq. Allah will give the athlete the guidance. Allah will give him the reserve. No, Sheikh. He must be very rich. Subhanallah. This is hypocrisy. This is double standard. Because the same Hadi is the same Razzaq. If you think in this way, that you want to accept a drunkard to be the husband of your daughter because he is rich, or he is very powerful, or his family is very well known and very powerful, even though he is, for wal'iyadu billah, maybe he is committing a zina. And you know, yes, I know, but you know, mashallah, Allah will give him God. Ya Amishu, mashallah. Don't accept him. Let him go to search for someone like himself. Because Prophet Muhammad, I'm telling you about what Islam tells you. If you would like to follow the teaching of Islam, this is the main aim of Dawra. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? We have about 12 minutes now. قال إن لا تفعلوا تكن في الأرض what? فتنة وفساد عريض. So let's go back now. تنكح المرأة لأربعة. Mainly women or a woman will be approached to be a wife for four main reasons: beauty, money, reputation, deen. إذا أتاكم من ترضون دينه وخلقوا فإلا تفعلوا. If you are approached by someone who has a good deen and good خلق, still, when I say deen, I'm not talking just about his beard. I'm not talking about that he has just he goes five times to the masjid. By the way, in our time, this is not an enough indication that this is a genuine religious person. We have to be frank. We don't want to mislead the people. It's like Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. When he said about someone, he asked about someone, who knows this person? He said, Ana a'rifuhu ya amir al-mu'mineen. Do you recommend him? Yes. Do you know him? Yes. He said, have you traveled with him? قال هل سافرت معه? He said, no. He said, have you dealt with him بالدينار والدرهم? Was there any kind of financial transaction between you and him? Money? He takes money from you, you took money from him. When you have dispute, you have khilaf, a problem, what kind of evil or good or nice personality comes as a reality? Do you have an idea? No. قال لعلك رأيته في المسجد يقول هكذا. قال نعم. قال إذا فأنك لا تعرفه. He said, as if I think you have seen him coming to the masjid doing ruku' and sujood. He said, yes, this is what I see. So no, you don't know him. Because some people in our time, because of, you know, because we are not established on the true religion in our homes in general, in our schools, in our public schools, in our societies, many people might come into the masjid because this is the only option that they have. Or just enjoy him because they have a free space time. I'm not generalizing. So just because he prays, I'm not saying this is the best religious person. Because he has a beard, no. Have the Quran still, no. We are talking about... the azan is not... So in 2 minutes? 2 minutes. So you mean after the adhan, can I continue a few minutes? Okay, inshallah. So what's the time exactly now? So in 1 minute. Okay, in 1 minute, remind me to stop. We have the adhan, we have 5 minutes, I stop inshallah. I forgot what I was saying. Really, I forgot what I was saying. Jazakallah khair, mashallah. I need someone like you to keep reminding me. So when we talk about deen, we are talking about a complete personality, completely mixed with faith, actions, morals, convictions, priorities in his life. That's why you need to deal or to ask very well about him. I'm not just saying, so not to be misled, because some people, they say, mashallah, what do you know about this? Mashallah, he's half the Quran and he holds in the masjid. This is not enough. Okay, what do you know about her? MashaAllah, she is hafiza and she wears the niqab. This is not enough. Still, so not to be misled by misunderstanding the two hadiths. Let me stop now. Time. Yes, okay. Raise the adhan. So I will continue, inshallah, bismillah. 2 minutes, we will continue, inshallah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة محمد وسيلته الفضيلة والدرجة العالية الرفيعة وبعث اللهم مقام المحمود الذي وعدته إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. Just to conclude a brief summary in 4 minutes, then we stop inshallah, we'll meet again. This is the first session out of 4. The title is How to Build Strong and Happy Family. Today we have covered the theoretical introduction, what is the main reason for our existence in this dunya. We explained the concept of istikhlaf, inni ja'alun fil ardi khalifa, and the concept of wasta'amarakum fiha, developing the earth, and the concept of ibadah, which is the full submission and obedience for God's commandments in every single aspect of our life. Part of it is marriage. Then we talked about the two main guidelines about a man, how should he, according to Islamic teachings, be choosing his wife, and how a woman should be choosing her husband. And we explained the two hadiths, إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ and تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعَ. In the coming 3 sessions, inshallah, as you noticed, we have 1 hour for each session. So, and it's a very intensive thing. Next time, I will consider that we have a husband and wife in their day one. We will be educating ourselves how Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a husband, from his relation with Aisha, Safiya, Salama, and other wives. We will be picking and choosing something to give an idea how a husband should be with his wife, and from the wives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they were dealing with their husband, i.e., Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to take a guidance for us how to be. Third session will be when having children, what does Islam say about how we should be treating our children, about what we call al-birr in what? Bil-awlad. Birr al-awlad, qabl birr al-walidain. If you want birr al-walidain, you have to pay the tax first. Pay the tax, then ask for the benefits. You plant the seeds in your kids, you educate them, you give them love, empathy, sympathy, of a kind, mercy, blah, 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 etc. Then, when Islam asks them to repay back the birr, they will be ready. In the fourth session, we'll be discussing, we'll be addressing, and I prefer the fourth session, not now, after 3 sessions, to bring all of your kids with you, because I will be talking about birr al-walidain. Okay? This is what we'll be doing, inshallah, in the coming 3 weeks. Jazakumullah khair for inviting me. May Allah accept your deeds here in Isna about the good and the beautiful things that you do in this masjid. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable me to be able, inshallah, to deliver these 3 speeches in the coming 3 weeks. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakumullah khair.